Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back, welcome back. This is Corinne Fornari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Carol Peterson.
And we're going to have a good time today. We have someone here that the audience proven that has been a popular guest on our show, but also with some very new and in-depth information. So we're going to enjoy ourselves and we're going to learn. What's better than that, Carol?
Oh, that's what we're all about.
That's what we're all about. So, I looked outside, Carol. There's not much sun today.
Oh. Hold that thought.
Right on the spot. I'm just putting you right on the spot.
And okay, look, hold that thought.
Oh, you're going to run to the window?
No.
So what happens when there's not much sun, there's not as much fun also, but when there's not much sun, what happens is that our body is deprived of making a vitamin or a pre-hormone or a hormone that is made through our skin. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, the importance of that pro-hormone, that vitamin, or even that hormone to our immune system, to our mental state, to our ability to resist viruses. And it is well documented. So I hope you're listening and take notes. And Carol, could you introduce our guest, please? Also, it's a fundraiser today, but it's a fun fundraiser. Wait till you hear. Carol's going to explain it to us.
Okay, so we have Jeff Bowles with us today. And I met Jeff through one of his books, and we actually have met and broken bread together and worked on a little project together. So I've gotten to know him, but he is what I would call a anthropologist. And what he digs is into the medical and scientific literature, which is kind of interesting because we have this whole body of work that people have done, but there are few people that go through this and try to put things together to have it make sense. So Jeff is the author of several books, and we're going to be talking about one of his books, which is specifically written around COVID. So welcome to our show, Jeff. And would you like to tell us what happened with your latest book?
Hello. Welcome to our show, Jeff.
Well,
my goodness, maybe he's not connected yet, but I'll start a little bit. This book was banned. And this is an important statement because this was at the same time that they blocked information. They blocked information coming from Dr. Brownstein. And Jeff wrote his book explaining about COVID and how we can resist it as a population. And he was blocked and it was banned. It was banned for 2.5 years. Where he kept on submitting it and it kept on getting banned. So there's a couple of points here that are so essential to understand, One is that information that might have benefited us, we were deprived of.
Can you say something? Say that again.
seeing it or hearing it or listening to it or incorporating it into our health programs. But at the same time, there was no treatment shared with us. So this was a very direct response from the NIH, from the CDC, from the World Health. And that's what Jeff is going to be explaining to us. He's going to be explaining to us about the importance of vitamin D and how it works within our body to stimulate our immune system. He's written a book, another book, and the other book is that the cure of, I'm paraphrasing it, the cure for all diseases. And he relates diseases directly, absolutely directly, to vitamin D deficiency. And what has happened, and the first thing I'm going to ask him when he gets on the air is why. What happened is that many people and the medical community became afraid of vitamin D. And so they were afraid to recommend it. I do not understand why, but maybe Jeff can explain that to us. And when...
Yes.
Hi, Jeff. Okay, well, let's what was I saying? I was saying that vitamin D is directly related to our immune response, and as a result, there were studies that were done, since we have a degree of understanding of that, there were studies that were done all over in different parts of the world. And one was in Spain, Barcelona, Spain. And that study in Barcelona, Spain, used vitamin D3, but the animal source of it, and gave it to the individuals that came to the hospital daily.
Oh, guess what, Corinne? Jeff has joined us. Jeff, are you here?
Am I on? Yeah, we had a little problem.
We were having problems. So Jeff has gotten to us on the phone.
There's something wrong. It kept saying repair this or that.
All right, just go on with the show.
Great.
Okay,
so
good.
We're here.
Great. So welcome, Jeff.
Can I introduce him?
Yes. We. I already did introduce you as an anthropologist, and you dig through the literature, the medical and scientific literature, to find out some of the mysteries of things that you can only do when you go through these works and pull things together. So you're great at hypothesis and having... truths that you find that hold up the hypothesis or things that do not. So you've written this book that we'd like to highlight today, and you've written about COVID and the mystery of COVID deaths, the fatalities in certain areas. There are almost nothing, and then other areas seem to have a lot more. So do you want to tell us a little bit about your book, Jeff? And some of the issues around your book.
Right. So I first wrote this book in 2020, right when the COVID outbreak was starting, and I submitted it to Amazon. I only do books through self-publishing. And it was up for about a week or so, and then as an ebook, and then I tried to publish the paperback, and someone read that at Amazon and they banned it. And then I said, why did you ban that? The ebook's been up for a whole week, it's got all 5-star reviews, and they banned the ebook. You know, the whole thing was like, you're not supposed to get any information from anyone except the CDC. And it in my so then that's been banned for 2.5 years. And so then I saw that some books were coming out, like, that were a little more critical of CDC and some provocative, like Dr. Mercola's book. I thought, maybe I can sneak my book through this time. So I spent a whole bunch of time revising it for all the events in COVID that have happened since 2020. And just a few weeks ago, I snuck it through past the censors at Amazon by submitting it on the weekends. That's where it ends up in, like, they've got reviewers in India. I submitted it like Friday at midnight. I figured it would avoid all those woke reviewers over in Seattle. And lo and behold, it's up. And I changed the title. It was now retitled as Can You Solve the Fascinating COVID-19 and Spanish Flu Mystery, a Puzzle of 16 Pieces, and the Solution If You Can't. All right, so then that book was just taken off just a few weeks ago. It went right into the top 100 best-selling e-books on medicine. And then what we do is, when you're marketing your own self-published book in Amazon, you can give it away for free for 5 days just to get it started. So I had the thing on there free. It shot up to like 11 on the free books. I went to bed. I woke up in the morning. There's like 40 more downloads, and it should have been at number one in all the free books. And then I saw it blocked. Banned again after one week. And I was just kind of, I said, that's it. I've had it. I'm going to give this book away if I can't get it published.
And that's why I'm so glad you contacted us, because that's what we're going to be doing today. We're going to, Carol, can you explain the fundraiser?
So Jeff has the PDF for his book, and he's offered it to use as a fundraiser for us today. So what we will ask for is for any donation of $25 or higher, Jeff will personally email you a PDF of that book, the banned book from Amazon. So you'll have the whole thing. What Jeff hasn't mentioned, his original book was quite short. You've got addendums and more information. It's a 400-page book, is it not, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. And then the appendices, there's like, I think it goes up to H, Appendix H. And there's a whole bunch of stuff in the beginning. And there's tons of great pictures in there. So it's a really, I compressed it, so it's not a huge file, but you'll love, it's almost like watching a movie as opposed to reading a book, because I put so many pictures in there that are all very interesting. And
we're offering this opportunity for people to get their hands on this book. And one of the things, as Jeff is talking about, there's been so much repression of what the information is out there. Now, Jeff has taken quite a unique view, which he'll be talking about. Not everybody's looked at things this way, but you'll have that in your possession. The PDF may be shared. Jeff and I just talked just before the show, and he said, I want it out there. You can share it 1,000 times. I don't care. People need the information. So a $25 donation to WBAI will get that for you.
You could consider it. I'm handing you an unlimited license, so you're not buying one book. You could actually gift this to, like, if you run out of ideas for Christmas, you could gift this to all sorts of people for free. And you could tell them, hey, this is a banned book. You can't get it anywhere else. So it might have
Jeff, let's
Let me say just two things. First of all, you can receive the book by calling 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. The next thing is, you have to be very clear and give the person that answers the phone your email. You will receive this by email. That's the only way it's available to you, but it's $25 with your email, and you should have it in your possession no later than 2 weeks. As fast as we can process those emails, this book will be sent out to you. So we're very, very excited about this. And now Jeff's going to explain it to us. The number is 212-209-2950, or give to at WBAI.org. Did I switch it, Carol?
Yeah, give to WBAI.org.
.org.
You can spell out two or use the number two. Either way works.
Okay, so please, Jeff, go right ahead.
Oh, yeah. Now, as soon as the emails come to me, I'll get that book out within a day. So there will be no slow part on my end. So what is so controversial about this book is basically it's a puzzle with 16 pieces. And I was always scanning the world and all the data and all these weird anomalies concerning epidemics like the Spanish flu. There's one puzzle piece about Ebola, but it's mostly COVID-19 mysteries. And what I'd like to do is share some of these mysteries with you. And once you understand the single thing that runs through all 16 mysteries, you'll then know how we could have prevented the pandemic, how nobody had to get sick. And then I'll tell you about the conspiracy. I believe there's a conspiracy at the CDC, NIH, and I can name names at the end of the show. I'm going to name names.
All right.
But there's a conspiracy that they withheld this information from the public. All right, so let's go over some of these interesting puzzle pieces that fascinated me. My favorite one is Chapter 2, and that talks about this little village in Alaska named Igakik. I think that's how it's pronounced.
Couldn't figure that out.
Yeah, it's weird. It's only about 120 people. During the Spanish flu in 1918, the flu was going all around the world killing people. It finally hit Alaska in 1919. And the people in Alaska just got hit extra hard. And except in this one village of Igakik, it was on the mouth of the river, the Igakik River that flows into the Pacific Ocean. And this little village is about 120 people. And they made their living catching salmon and canning them and then shipping that salmon down to the lower 48 states. And so they didn't even know about the pandemic. Nobody got sick in this village. And they first found out about it when a canoe came floating down the river with dead bodies in the bottom of it, of adults with the live children, Inuit children sitting on top. And they goes, wow, what's going on? So they went out and they looked around all these villages, and like 90% of the adults had just fallen dead. And they had all these children, had to put them in orphanages. The dogs were eating the bodies. And it was just hell on earth. But nobody in this little village got sick. And nobody knew why until I figured it out with this puzzle. The scientists might say, well, water suppresses the virus. You're next to the flowing river. Or maybe they're cleaning themselves so much because they're dirty with salmon guts on their hands or they wash so much. But that's really not the solution, which I'll tell you after I talk about these two other puzzle pieces. But that's a real brain teaser. Why is this one village untouched? So then the second one that really fascinated me was they were really dropping dead in Italy like flies. And then I found this one from COVID, not Spanish flu. And I found this one article about the miracle town of Ferrara. And it turns out there's a little town in the plains of Italy called Ferrara, another place where nobody was getting sick. They thought they had some kind of genetic mutation in the town amongst the people. But everyone else that lived on the other parts of Italy, like most of Italy is covered with north-south oriented mountains. And most people live like on one side or the other of a mountain. And that's where all the people were getting sick. And so the people in the mountains were getting sick from COVID, and the people in the plains were untouched. That's puzzle piece number two. Now here's number three that really, it kind of blew my mind for a while until I figured it out. So in Colorado, you've got the opposite situation. You got all those tall mountains, over 7,000 feet, like all in the west side, the Rockies, in the west side of Colorado. And the east side of Colorado is a plains. It's the plains state. And it turns out you had the opposite situation in Colorado where all the COVID deaths were occurring on the plains and the people in the mountains were untouched. So that's just three of the mysteries. There's 13 more, but those are my most fun ones. They kind of are real brain teasers. So, but once you figure out the thing that threads through all those, you could figure out how to stop the next pandemic. We could have stopped this one. And then, in fact, nobody had to die, according to a study in that came out in, oh, do we want to reveal the secret now?
Oh.
If we reveal the secret, whoever buys the book, you can't do the puzzle. But we can reveal the secret. And then you can at least share the book with other people and don't tell them the answer. So
okay. I would like you to talk about New York. Was that in one of your puzzles?
Yeah, New York actually. New York showed up in this one of these puzzle pieces, mostly like the New England. There are different places in the United States that got hit a lot harder, like if you look at California versus New York, New York was had 10 times the death rate of California. And the question is why? And so we were looking at like the effect of the sun. It turns out California has a lot of sun. New York doesn't have a lot of sun, a lot of cloudy days. And then I noticed, but it didn't really seem to answer the whole question. And then I looked into it, and it turns out New York's got a lot of ozone. So that makes it even cloudier in a way. And California's got a lot of ozone areas. The top 10 areas of ozone are California, and one is New York City. And the ozone somehow makes COVID worse. But in California, there's so much extra sun, it kind of counteracts the ozone. Also in New York, you got all those tall skyscrapers. You got high density. The virus can spread. But none of that's important. The one secret runs through New York City as well.
Now,
there you go.
Also in New York and Northeast, you said something to the effect that there are five times more deaths in the Black community than in the white community. And we were all trying to figure that out. Did it have to do with cofactors? Did it have to do with inadequate care? Whereas when we looked in the South, of Florida, the deaths were equal for Black and whites. So
yeah, that's another puzzle piece, isn't it?
It's a big puzzle piece because that was the topic of a lot of conversation. Go on.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me know when it's time to reveal the secret. But
okay. I think it's time.
It's time.
Oh, it's time? Okay. I can go through all these little puzzle pieces. It turns out when you sit in the sun, your skin makes vitamin D3. Vitamin D3 is not a vitamin. It's a hormone. It was just misnamed because it was discovered after vitamin C. But it's actually an amazing hormone that controls 2,700 of your genes or more that are involved with your immune system and your tissue remodeling system. Those are two sides of the same coin. So it turns out whoever's low in vitamin D3 was being affected by COVID more than others and much more likely to die. If your D3 levels are high enough and you catch COVID, it doesn't do anything. You don't even get any symptoms. And so in the case of the Alaska Village, Alaska is very dark in the winter. That's why I got hit so hard, because they weren't making vitamin D in their skins, all these people in the villages. But apparently the Eagekick workers at the salmon cam factory were engaged in widespread employee theft, is my guess. Or or their boss was giving them free salmon during the winter. So one of those two possibilities. And the reason that that's important is because salmon is the one food with the wild salmon. It has to be wild, not farmed. Wild salmon is the one food with the highest amounts of D3 of any food there is. So they were basically taking lots of D3 every day. Not a single one of them got sick. Nobody died. So then, and it has to be wild salmon because they live in deep cold waters. They need to be in cold water. And then they're so far below the surface that they don't make D3 from the sun. And so they have to make their own. So somehow evolution figured out how to do that. But if you raise these fish like in these farms on the surface, they're getting all this sun. So they don't have to make their own D3. That's why wild salmon is much better for you than farmed salmon.
Yes, so, it's like 15%. The farm salmon has 15% of the vitamin D that the wild salmon does.
Yeah, it's like it's not that healthy as far as D3 goes. It has to be wild. But and the next thing was the town of Ferrara, Italy. That was out in the plains, so they weren't near this mountain, so they didn't have shadows all day from the mountain. You know, just sometimes during the day. And then the people that live in the mountains, especially north-south mountains, part of the sun's going to be blocked out every day. So your vitamin D3 levels are basically a slow, long-term moving average of your sun exposure over the year. So when you block out part of the sun during every day, your D3 levels are going to be lower than people that live on the plains. So that's why the people in Ferrara all survive with no one getting sick, and the people in the Italian mountains, they're all dying like crazy. And then finally, this crazy mystery of Colorado, it seems to negate the entire theory because the people in the plains are dying, and the people high up in the mountains are protected from COVID. Carol, do you have any idea why that is?
All right, you have to tell us.
I struggled with this for a while, and I finally looked up what happens the higher the elevation. It turns out every 1,000 feet you go up in elevation, the amount of UV rays, which make vitamin D, coming from the sun increased by about 7 or 8%. So by the time you're at about 8,000 feet above sea level, the sun is going to be about 64% stronger. So the fact that the sun is stronger when you get higher is, it gets to the point where it counteracts the bad effects of the shadows from the mountains. Is that complicated enough?
Yeah.
So when I finally figured that out, it was like, bingo. Because for a while I was worried, what the hell? Everything I'm talking about is wrong. But then I found out the altitude effect on increase. So you only need a little exposure at the top of a mountain to make a lot of vitamin D. So that means the low-level mountains, like 3,000 feet or less, they're dangerous because they lower your vitamin D levels. And then the air is much thicker, so the UV doesn't penetrate as much. And when you get to the higher level mountains, even though you get less sun, the sun is way stronger. So, and then as far as the blacks and dying at 5 times the rate of whites, that was happening in Detroit, Chicago, New Orleans, everywhere. And then, but if you move down to towards Florida and Miami, that's right near the Tropic of Cancer, the sun is just strong enough where the blacks there must have a higher level of D3 than people north of Florida, because the darker your skin, the longer the more sun exposure you need in order to make the same amount of vitamin D as, say, a white person. So once you get north of Florida, then the vitamin D deficiency in black people really goes up. But the sun is strong enough in Florida where it keeps it in check. Plus, there's an elderly white population in Florida. So, elderly people have trouble making vitamin D in their skin. That, like, they make less than half the D3 that a young person makes from the same amount of sun exposure. So the elderly have a D3 problem also. So you've got a lot of elderly whites in Florida, and then blacks that are getting a lot of strong sun. So that's turned out to basically even the field out, where blacks and whites are dying at equal rates in Florida. So there you go. There's all those mysteries. There's some more. The Ebola mystery is pretty interesting, but you'll have to read that one in the book.
Okay, let's stop for a minute and give the phone number out again, 212-209-2952.
5-0-2-9-5-0.
I can't read my writing. Thank you. So for a $25 donation to WBAI, Jeff will send you the PDF of this book, and it's just chock full of information on why this vitamin D is so important and how it actually, as you observe what's happening in different populations, it becomes very, very important. So the number is 212-209-2950. If you call in, and the website is give2wbai.org. And if you spell the word out two, or you use the numeral two, it will get you to our donation page. So $25, Jeff will personally send you the PDF of this book, and you can share it with your friends and family and get a much broader
understanding.
Really, yes. Now, I would like to bring
up one other quick thing. Please carefully give your email so we get your email and we can have the book sent out to you in no later. I'm giving us extra time when I'm saying 2 weeks. It could be even faster than that. So you'll have a copy of this on your in your inbox as soon as we can verify your email and get it to Jeff, which will be very shortly. So this book can change your health. I mean, right down to what are the top diseases of the elderly: arthritis, hypertension, atrial fib, diabetes, cancer, congestive heart failure, and it goes on, COPD, osteoporosis. All of these have direct, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, have direct relationships to vitamin D and the necessity of vitamin D and in your body and the amounts. Now, this is not the only thing, vitamin D. There are different types of vitamin D, some more effective than others, and some which take a period of time, like minimum of 7 days, to be able to convert and be able to be utilized by your body to assist the immune system. Can you explain that, Jeff?
Sure. In fact, I was going to talk about that when I'm switching right now to the conspiracy at CDC.
Go where you want. And then I'll remember that.
Yeah. I was going to say, conspiracy is rampant here, because how many of us heard about vitamin D at all? And
listening to Take Charge of Your Health, you did.
Yes.
Yes. It's not that they're not talking about it. It's they're actually telling people not to take vitamin D and that it doesn't work. So that's coming out of the CDC and the NIH. And then even the New England Journal of Medicine and JAMA, which is the Journal of American Medical Association. I'll get into that in a minute. But what's going on is in September 2021 in Nutrients, the science journal, there's an article published titled COVID-19 Mortality Risk Correlates Inversely with Vitamin D3 Status, which means as your risk of COVID goes up, as your D3 goes down, and vice versa. It says, and a mortality rate close to zero could theoretically be achieved at 50 nanograms per milliliter. These are the results of a systematic review and meta-analysis of like a bunch of other studies. So these researchers looked through all these studies and discovered if everyone had had a vitamin D3 level of 50 nanograms per milliliter or higher.
That's not even high.
I know. Probably nobody would have died. Not like almost nobody, except possibly people if you're really too old and your immune system is totally compromised. There's a lot of people over the age of 65 that by that age your thymus turns to fat and it doesn't make these killer T cells in the presence of new kinds of viruses. So that's your CD8 cell. Turns out if your immune system's really working well, your thymus is bound by the active form of vitamin D that Corinne was just talking about. It's actually, the name is calcidiol or calcifediol. It's, when you take regular D3 you get from the store, it takes about 7 days for your body to convert that D3 into the active form called calcidiol, calcifediol. And so when your thymus is, when your CD8 cells find a virus-infected cell, those are the killer T cells, they present these D3 receptors, and if the D3 is around in the form of calcifediol, that binds, and then that cell can actually make the even more active form of D3 called calcitriol. And when your killer T cells are jacked up, what happens is when it encounters a virus-infected cell, it kills it within an hour and a half. And so I've been taking high-dose D3 for at least 25 years. And it turns out in 25 years, I've only had one cold. And that was about 10, 12 years ago when I decided to wash the D3 out of my system to just for a few months to see what would happen, and I got a cold. But other than that, I've had no colds.
When you said high doses, can you define high doses?
So you've got the Institute of Medicine has for years and years, that's like, there's people on that board like Joanne Manson and Clifford Rosen. Those are two conspirators I will talk to you about in a minute that are trying to suppress D3 because it's really bad for business, medical business and big pharma. They hate it because if people take enough D3, nobody's going to get sick. It cures all autoimmune diseases if you take the right dose. So if you sit out in the sun, a light-skinned person in the summer for a half hour, your skin's going to make about 20,000 IUs, international units, in a half hour. And what this Institute of Medicine has been telling the public for maybe 80 years, don't take more than 200 units a day. It's dangerous. And that's nothing. That's a meaningless amount. And then they bumped it up to 400. Don't take 400 a day. That's just enough D3 to keep a baby from getting rickets. That's where their legs are all bowed out. Mm-hmm. And so they've been saying, that's the most you should take. Otherwise, it's dangerous. And obviously, that's ridiculous evolution wouldn't create our skin to make 20,000 a day, 20,000 in a half hour of sunbathing. if it was that dangerous, right? And finally in 2010, there's this Institute of Medicine. They were getting harassed by other researchers like Michael Hollick. He's the king of vitamin D3 research. And he's saying 400 is way too low. So they, in 2010, this Institute of Medicine, they all voted to say, well, all right, let's raise it to 600. And it's still a meaningless amount. And so when I say high doses, I'm just, that's meaning relative to what the Institute of Medicine is recommending. It's not really a high dose. What's really going on is it's super low doses is what they're recommending. So when I say high dose, it's just because they make it seem high, but it's not really. It's because what they're promoting is almost dangerous is actually way too low. So this is part of the conspiracy. Now, it turns out, so I started looking at the website of CDC just to try and find out what are they telling people about vitamin D3. And so as of 2021, the CDC offered new guidance in COVID patients, and they've noted recent trials show that vitamin D, zinc, and vitamin C didn't help COVID-19 patients. They also noted vitamin D3 did not improve outcomes in hospitalized patients with COVID-19. And they cite a study published by JAMA in 2021, where in Brazil they gave COVID patients just entering the hospital a single dose of 200,000 units of D3 to a control group. They got nothing. They compared the two groups after 1 week. And this is regular inactive vitamin D3. They used the wrong kind. Mm-hmm. Like, so after a week, they compared the two patients, and they found no differences in mortality or ICU admissions, whatever. But they noted that the control group had a D3 level in their blood of 20 nanograms per milliliter, and the experimental group went up to 40. But this study was designed to fail. And this is why, because when you take regular D3, your body needs 7 days to convert it into calcifediol, the active form. And they gave these people 200,000, and then they discharged them after 7 days, right when the calcifediol was kicking in. So this was designed to fail so they could say on their website, D3 doesn't work. Now, they ignored a Spanish study where they gave them the right kind of D3 called calcifediol, which Corinne was talking about. And in that Spanish study, they did 447 patients treated with calcifediol and the other with controls. There was a 79% decrease in ICU admissions in the calcifediol group, and there was a 70% decrease in deaths in the calcifediol group. So they don't mention that study. So CDC puts that on their website. D3 doesn't work. Okay, so now I said, well, maybe the NIH has got something for us. Well, I looked at their website, and it turns out they mentioned that Brazilian study and say, oh, there's no evidence that D3 helps at all. And they mentioned that Brazilian study, did not mention the Spanish study that I just told you about. They mentioned a few more studies where they just used a single dose of high-dose D3, and it didn't work. And then at the end, they mentioned a study where they gave the one group of patients got calcitriol, and that's the most active form. I guess they're trying to look. And they noted in this study that people getting calcitriol had an oxygenation level of 90, and the control group only had an oxygenation level of 13. And they mentioned that, well, that's all there was. And there was no differences in mortality, ICU admissions, this or that. And when you look up the study, that was a total lie. They're lying right on their website. because if you look up the study, here it is, it turns out the length of the hospital stay in the controls was 9.2, calcitriol 5.5, that's almost double. ICU admissions were 8 in the control group, 5 in the calcitriol group. Deaths, there were 3 in the control group, this is out of 25 people, 0 in the calcitriol group. Intubation, 2 in the control group, 0 in the calcitriol group. But their exact language on their website is they'd mentioned the oxygenation increase, and then they wrote, there were no differences between the arms in the length of the hospital stay, mortality, or the need for ICU admissions or hospital readmission. That's a total lie. So,
how could they do something like that? It confuses me that they could have a study and then at the end of it give you totally contradictory facts that were...
Oh, yeah, they're trying to muddy the waters. They're trying to muddy the waters. Now, you don't have to believe me. You can go... Oh, am I going to run out? You don't have to believe me. There's a YouTube video where Dr. Bruce Hollis, H-O-L-L-I-S, he's a vitamin D researcher. He's being interviewed, and he's talking about the major hostility he gets from the medical community or scientific community when he tries to do vitamin D tests or vitamin D studies, giving people like up to 7,000 IUs a day, which is still pretty low. And he says that they treat him like he's trying to do a really dangerous study, like with drugs that they would have a black box warning. And he says there's some journals that they will never publish anything good about vitamin D, like JAMA, New England Journal of Medicine, Nature, British Medical Journal. So there's a conspiracy at the top level up there. And it turns out this IOM committee, someone was on that committee named Joanne Manson at Harvard, and she's doing the VITAL study. Have you all heard of the VITAL study?
No, I think you'll have to.
Oh, all right. Well, they thought they'd get a whole bunch of people, like 25,000, since that's a big number that most people would like say, oh, 25,000, it's got to be correct. All right, so they figured out they're going to give everybody 2,000 IUs a day of D3. Uh-oh, corn dog's on the rampage. Corn dog, stop that. Take him upstairs. Okay, so they're giving everyone 2,000 units a day over a number of years, and they're finding that vitamin D3 doesn't help. It doesn't reduce the number of falls. It doesn't reduce depression. Doesn't reduce cardiovascular disease or cancer. This or that. The whole thing they're doing is they're giving a meaningless amount of D3. 2,000 units sounds scary. Ooh, 2,000. That's the same as sunbathing for 3 minutes in the summer. You know, that's it. 3 minutes.
Wow. So, I wanted to jump in because we're going to run out of time, and there's something else I wanted to add to sweeten the pot. What I haven't said about Jeff is some of his original work is about how we age and how to age successfully. And he's about to launch a new book in the not-too-distant future, but he's also offered to add 4 chapters of his new book, and this is specifically on the Blue Zone people, to the offering here. So if you pledge to WBAI $25 or more for this fundraiser, the premium will be Jeff's book on this COVID conspiracy that we're talking about and the puzzle pieces, plus 4 chapters of his new book, which nobody has seen yet either. And it's, except Corinne and I have seen it, and it's good. You'll enjoy it. So I wanted to make sure that people heard about this additional offering by Jeff. So the phone number to call is 212-209-2950. And the website is give2wbai.org. Corinne, something to add?
Well, the fun part is that you'll have it on your computer with an accurate email at the latest within 2 weeks, if not earlier, within a couple of days. So if you call, you will have this book. And this is an important book because this is about health for not just COVID and your, well, your immune system, but this is to about how to build your health for every challenge in your life, for every physical challenge. Like Jeff said, it didn't show that it's strength, that people had fewer falls. Well, I've seen studies where it reduces falls. Vitamin D reduces falls and strengthens muscles and strengthens the legs of older people so that they have fewer falls.
You should tell them about my new book. It's going to be the best book I ever wrote. It's not just how to kind of moderate aging. There's crazy stuff coming out of the labs right now. We can reverse aging now. It's not even, it's amazing.
Sign me up.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been working on aging, studying aging like twice as long and hard as I looked at vitamin D. So I'm well known in the top of the aging scientist circles. And I was kind of ostracized in the beginning when I published my paper in 1998 saying that aging was programmed. Everyone laughed at me. Oh, that's impossible. But that's not how evolution works. It's impossible for evolution to select for something that's bad for an individual's reproduction. And then aging, yeah, it sure slows down the number of kids you can have. But a study just came out in 2021 by Steve Horvath in his lab. He's like the number one aging scientist in the world right now. He invented the DNA methylation clock that can tell you how old you are. His study proves that mammalian aging is programmed. And I've been doing Zoom calls with him, and we've been putting meat on the bones. He found out that 36 genes get turned off with aging, 12 of them get turned on, and it turns out these 36 genes, you can turn them back on simply by taking alpha-ketoglutarate, like all during the day. I've got dark hair growing back in all over the place. I've been doing it for a year and a half. And then there's another guy I've been talking with, or we've been collaborating at least by email, named Harold Katcher. And he's doing what I think he won't tell us what his five factors are, but he injects them into rats, and he can reverse their DNA methylation age by 54%.
Wow.
And, the number to call is 212-209-2950. It's 212-209-2950. Don't miss this opportunity. This is an amazing book, the one you're getting, plus the four unpublished chapters that are going into a brand new book on how to reverse aging, and the book that you're getting directly if you give your email correctly, slowly, speak slowly, and have them repeat it to you. Can you solve the fascinated COVID-19 and Spanish flu puzzle with 16 pieces plus the solution if you can't? Now, Jeff, I wanted to ask you something. Very interesting, because in the middle of COVID came a study that I became aware of that said that people of color with hypertension, you should be very careful about giving them vitamin D, that their vitamin D level should be lower than the average that they're saying is the average. Were you aware of that?
That is something I've seen a little bit about it, but it's not that well known. And I'm not sure if it's accurate or not. So I'd have to look into it a little more.
Yeah, I was a little shocked by it myself.
It lowers people's blood pressure over time.
Over time. The number to call, 212-209-2950. give your name, your email, and $25. My goodness, $25, and you'll receive this book, Can You Solve the Fascinating COVID-19 and Spanish Flu Puzzle with 16 Pieces, The Solution, if you can't.
Oh, Jeff, and the four chapters about the blue zones. You might want to ask me what's interesting about them.
Yes, definitely. 212-209-2950. Don't miss this opportunity. This is the best. Carol?
So I think we're coming to the end of our time. I think, Jeff, do you have some parting words? And I know you have a website you could direct people to.
Yeah, you can come visit my website, jefftbowles.com. So that's no spaces, Jeff T, B-O-W-L-E-S.